Thank you so much for being here this morning. Boy, isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Joshua chapter 2, we'd ask you to stand this morning as you turn there. You pray for us this morning as we preach, and God give us unction of the Holy Ghost. I pray that the message of God will speak to your heart today, and God will use it. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to hear the words of this message this morning. If you're here this morning and you've been saved, but circumstances and trials of your life have caused you to lose focus of the cross, I want you to listen to the message this morning. And if you're here today and you think, you know what, my life is just about useless and I'm not going to amount to much of anything, I want you to listen to the words of the message this morning. Joshua chapter 2 this morning. I don't know how far we'll read. We'll stop when the Lord tells us to. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight, the children of Israel, to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men answered her, 'Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall." Now I want you to go down just a little bit further down, and I want you to look in verse number 20 this morning. The man again says, "If thou wilt utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And this morning, by the help of the Lord, I want to preach a little message entitled, "The Making of a Good Mother." Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your sweet presence. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace and your love on our lives. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've sent your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, to be with us today. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the singing, God. Thank you for what we felt already today. Now, God, I pray that you would just use us today to preach. God, I pray that you would give us attentive minds and hearts this morning. Open our hearts, God, to your word, I pray. God, I need you to use me today, God, for I know, Lord, I can't preach unless you give us anointing today. So, God, I pray, give it to us. And, God, I pray for those that are here today that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. God, I pray today that they'd see that scarlet thread. And, God, I pray that they'd come to Jesus today and be saved. God, if there's someone here today, Lord, that's been saved, but Lord, they're not where they ought to be with you. Lord God, I pray, draw them, Lord. Let them see that scarlet thread today. God, that they might come, Lord, and once again rededicate their life to you. And for the one that's discouraged, God, for the one, Lord, that's going through a tough time, Lord, the one that the devil has fooled into thinking that they're not worth anything, God, I pray, in the name of Jesus, let them see that scarlet thread. And God, we'll love you and praise you today and give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. The woman that we read about by the name of Rahab this morning was a lost pagan woman who lived in the city of Jericho. And the Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about this woman or her life. It seems that the only account that we find of her is this that we find in Joshua chapter 2. And folks, Rahab isn't exactly heroine type material. She's first introduced to us as a member of a disgusting, degenerate race of people called the Canaanites. Their religion was vile and foul, and every kind of vileness was elevated as an act of worship. Even her name sums up the day in which she lived. Her name means proud. Rahab is also introduced to you and I this morning as a harlot. Not someone you would expect to be praised in the Word of God. Yet she became one of the most honored women in the Bible. She's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and also in the book of James. In Hebrews 11, she stands as an example of faith. In James, she's exemplified as an illustration of works. When you put those two together, we see that Rahab is the picture of what all of us should be. All of us should be the type of person Rahab is, in that we would have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our faith would produce works of righteousness within us. Rahab lived in a day and age that's just like ours today. A day that's ready for divine judgment. Yet Rahab, as we read in our text this morning, realizes that it is God that she is going to have to deal with and one day answer to. And she knows it's coming real quick. And let me give you a little illustration here this morning. There was once a rather tough and an uncultured man that for some reason fell in love with a beautiful vase that was in a window shop. Well, eventually he got up enough money and he went and he bought the vase and he put it on his mantelpiece above his fireplace in the living room. And there it became a kind of judgment on all of its surroundings. So he looked at the vase and he realized, man, I've got to clean up this room to make it worthy of the vase. The curtains looked dingy that was beside it. The old chair there in the living room with all the stuffing coming out of the seat just would not do. The wallpaper needed redoing. Gradually the whole room was transformed. Likewise, when you place Christ on the mantle of your heart, your whole life is going to be transformed around Him. And it's this kind of transformation this morning that we'll witness today in the text that we've read. It's the same transformation that God makes in the life of every sinner who comes to Jesus by faith and repentance. So I want us to look today in the Scriptures at what I've called the making of a good mother. And as we get down to the end of this message, you're going to see what I'm talking about. But if anybody is going to be a good mother, and we'll just say if anybody is going to make a good person, then we've got to understand some things that happened here in the life of Rahab. The first thing we see about Rahab was Rahab realized she was a doomed sinner. She realized she was a doomed sinner. Now I want to tell you some things about her this morning. Number one, she had a deceptive fortress. The Bible teaches you and I that Rahab lived on the top of the city walls that surrounded the city of Jericho. And the Bible said that the spies were sent out to view the land, even Jericho. And in verse number 15, we're told that she dwelt on that wall. Now in Joshua's days, Jericho was surrounded by two walls. Both of them were 30 feet high. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, and the inner wall wall was 12 feet thick. Between those two walls, there was a space of almost 15 feet. And this space was covered over by houses and bridges that would go across the two walls. Rahab's house was placed on high with the massive walls of Jericho, and she thought by her house being on that wall that she had a sure foundation. And most people that would have looked at Rahab's house would have thought that Rahab occupied a very strong position on that wall. But folks, can I tell you today that that's exactly the same false sense of security that people have today, because they built their house on everything else than the foundation of Jesus Christ. Some folks build their houses on religion. Some folks build their houses on reputation. Some folks build their house on the walls of respectability. But folks, unless you build your walls on faith and repentance, then you have a false sense of security this morning. We need to understand that no matter how massive those walls were, no matter how wide or how high they were, folks, those walls were coming down. And it doesn't matter who was on those walls. It doesn't matter how strong those walls were. It doesn't matter what kind of cement or concrete made those walls up. When God got done with that city, those walls were laying down. You may build your house on something in this life, but I'm telling you, unless it's built on Jesus, one day those walls are going to come down. Folks, she had a false sense of security. She lived on a deceptive fortress. She also had defiled flesh. The Bible said they went out, those two spies in verse number 1, came into the house of Rahab. And the Bible says Rahab was a harlot. Y'all know what that is without me explaining it to you. But she had defiled herself by giving herself up for men, and giving herself up for her profession and occupation, and giving herself up for the pleasures of the flesh and the pleasures of the world. And folks, there's people today that's living their lives in the pleasures of the flesh and living their lives after accordance to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, as John talks about in his epistle. And people are living their lives in ungodly manners. They don't understand it's defiling their lives. But folks, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus has something better for you. You know what? You say, preacher, why do people do that sort of thing? Why would she be a harlot here? Why would she lay around and all these things? Because folks, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Nobody would sin if there wasn't a pleasure in it for a while. There's pleasure in it for a season. But can I remind you that season one day is going to run out. That season one day is going to come to an end. And there's not going to be any pleasure in that anymore. And one day we're going to stand before a holy God. We're going to stand before a righteous Savior. And we're going to give an account of our lives. And we must give an account of what we did in this flesh. Folks, she had defiled flesh. She had a deceptive fortress. But she also had a dismal future. She had a dismal future. And folks, the Bible says in verse number 9, she says, hey guys, she's telling the spies, she says, we heard something. She said, I know the Lord hath given you the land. But look what she said. She said, and that your terror has fallen upon us. She said, I know it's just a matter of time before your army's going to come in here and is going to wipe us out. I know it's just a matter of time before the judgment of God is going to come upon this city. I know it's coming. She knew that her future was dismal. She knew that she was going to face judgment. She knew in her state, unless she made a deal with these men, she knew that she was going to be killed. Can I tell you today, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, for it is once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. Hey, can I tell you something this morning? That there's an appointment that all of us are going to face, and some of us have good futures because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we're loving God with all of our hearts, and we're on our way to a wonderful place called heaven. But there's others today that have a dismal future, and they're facing death eye to eye, and they're still in their sin. They're still living in accordance to the flesh. They're still living in their lust. They don't care about God. They don't care about themselves. They don't care about their lives, and they have a dismal future. Now folks, Rahab realized she was a doomed sinner. Can I remind you that Psalm chapter 9 and verse number 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Hey folks, somebody says, well, I don't believe in that. Hey, let me tell you something. There ain't nobody in hell that don't believe in hell right now. The wicked, the Bible says, shall be turned into hell. But can I remind you that God never made hell for you and I. God never made hell for individuals such as us. God never made, He made it for the devil and his angels. And the only way people go, you say, preacher, what do I have to do to go to hell? The Bible says the only thing you have to do to go to hell is simply reject Jesus. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And folks, let me tell you something. If we reject Jesus Christ in this life, it's once appointed unto man to die. And folks, there we're not going to get out of that appointment. There's coming a day when we're going to face death. There's coming a day, and I don't care how healthy you might be right now, your body's going to give out one day. If God don't call us home one day in the rapture, then this old body right here, and I'm fairly healthy. I got a little touch of asthma every now and then, but other than that, I'm healthy. My blood pressure stays low. My cholesterol's low. Everything's real good, except just normal aches and pains. But you know what? I know there's coming a day sometime when this whole body's going to start giving out. I know there's coming a day when things are going to begin to start failing and organs are going to begin to start messing up. I know that day is coming. And I'm telling you right now, I know one thing I need to make sure of. I'm prepared for when the day comes. Rahab realized she was a doomed sinner. You want to make the best mother you can make? Realize without Jesus, you're just a doomed sinner. And there's the first start right there. That's the first step. Now, look right here comes after that. We not only see a doomed sinner, but we see a delivered saint. Hallelujah. A delivered saint. Verses number 9 through 11, we see the fear that she exhibited. Hey, can I tell you right now, the Bible still says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible said right here, look what she said in verse number 11. She said, as soon as we had heard these things, what these things? These things about y'all coming over by the Red Sea and God parting the water. How y'all came through and you wiped out the kings of the Amorites and you utterly destroyed all them. And we knew we couldn't stand against you. It doesn't matter how high our walls are. It doesn't matter how thick our walls are. It doesn't matter about our defenses. It doesn't matter about our fortress. We understand we're no match for you. And the Bible said as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Folks, to understand and to know that without Jesus Christ, I'm facing hell's flames this morning. It ought to absolutely cause our hearts to melt within us to know that if I reject what Jesus did for me, then I have no other options. I have no other way to turn, and I have no hope beyond this life. But she exhibited some fear. And in verse number 11, look what she says here real fast. She said, our hearts did melt. And then she said, the men of the country, the men of the city, there did remain no more courage in any man, the Bible says. But look what she said. She said, for the Lord your God. Boy, she come to a realization here. She said, the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She came to a realization. She said, there must be something about this God you serve. We heard how y'all came forth out of Egypt. We heard how God delivered you with a mighty hand. We heard how He brought you to the Red Sea and Moses lifted up that staff and God parted the waters and y'all walked over on dry land. We heard when you came up to the kings of the Amorites, oh Sihon and Og, and how they came to fight against you. And we heard how you had the power to utterly destroy them. You know what she was saying to them? She said, we've heard about this God. We know there's something to Him. Aren't you glad today that you serve a victorious God? Folks, here's some things about it. Hey, and she got afraid. And folks, the only way an individual ever gets saved is if he gets afraid of God. Hey, you see the fear she exhibited. You see the favor she extended. She says in verses 15 and 16, she says, hey guys, I know judgment's coming. And I know we don't stand any match whatsoever. But guys, hey, let me help y'all out. Can I make a deal with you? She says, Will you save my family? I'll get back to that in a minute. But she said, would you save father and mother and all the family and everything? And she said, if I help y'all out and hide y'all and slide you down, when you come in and take over this city and you destroy everybody, will you keep us alive? And you know what? They made a deal with her. And they said, hey, our life for yours. And you know what? Said, everything you've said, everything you've uttered, if you'll hold up your end of the bargain, I'll hold up my end of the bargain. And you know what she did? She went and got a cord. And we learned later it's a scarlet cord. Glory, hallelujah. I'll get back to that in a minute. But she gets that scarlet cord together and she lays it on down there and she binds that cord up and she lays it down. And here those men go sliding out of that window and head down that wall, and there's that scarlet cord right there. And you know what? She was giving them a favor that she knew their life was on the line. And you know what they were saying? They told her, they said, if you want to escape death, you've got to meet our conditions. You don't come to God on your conditions. You don't come to God saying, God, here's the deal right here. God, I'll do this, this, and this, but only if you come through with this over. Hey, the Bible said you're going to come to God by faith and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And folks, the only way to come to Jesus is by faith and repentance this morning. There is no other way. There is no other way to heaven except somebody puts their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can wash our sins away. The only thing that can secure our soul in heaven. We must come by the way of the cross. And you see the favor that she extended. And then you see the faith that she exercised. The faith that she exercised. In verse number 21, here, all the stuff is done now. All the bartering is over with. They've made their deal now. And they said, you know what? She said, if you'll save us alive, we'll help you out. And them guys said, if you'll honor your word, said, I'll honor mine. She got that scarlet rope and she put it down out of that wall. And here they went sliding down. And the Bible said this, they made a deal with. Said, when we come back into town next time, we're going to come back in. We're going to destroy this place. But let me tell you how we're going to make sure you don't get destroyed. Said, I want you to keep that scarlet cord hanging outside that window. Glory to God. Keep that scarlet cord hanging outside that window. And when we come back through and we see the scarlet cord hanging out of your window, we'll know to come and save you. Can I tell you today, you can go through Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation and you'll find the scarlet cord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. All the way through the Word of God, you'll find that scarlet line. And that scarlet line to Rahab and her family was what the blood on the doorpost was to the Hebrews in Egypt. The way to salvation has always been the same. It's only by the blood of the Lamb. The scarlet line runs all the way from Genesis through Revelation. We get the first hint of it. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam was clothed with the animal skins that protected them from the wrath of God, the scarlet line can be seen in that more acceptable sacrifice that Abel offered unto God when his brother Cain would not do it. Everywhere in the Levitical law, the emphasis is on the shedding of blood. We can see the scarlet thread in all the major offerings, in all the feast days, in the great day of atonement, in the dedication of the temple, throughout the Old Testament. Rivers of blood flowed from the altars of Israel. It was that scarlet line. And at last we can take our stand at Calvary and understand the significance of it all, because we see Jesus take the cup and say, this is the new covenant in my blood. 1 Peter 1 says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as with silver and gold, but he said rather with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And so it is from cover to cover. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith when they looked back, when they looked ahead to the cross. And you and I are saved by faith when we look back to the cross and see the scarlet thread. Let me ask you something this morning. How are you going to get saved? How are you going to get saved? Are you still living on that false fortress like Rahab the harlot? I've got walls of health. I've got walls of money. I've got walls of this. And I've got walls of that. And I'll be all right. And I tell you, one day those walls are going to come crashing down. How are you going to be saved in that day when it happens? Oh, I'm glad. How many of you are glad this morning you came in by the blood of the Lamb? Are you glad this morning you've been washed from all of your sin by the blood of the Lamb? Aren't you glad I can come by your house and I know who you are and I can see your house and out your window hangs that scarlet thread, glory to God. Aren't you glad this morning for the blood of Jesus? Hey, and then we see not only a delivered saint but a dedicated servant. A dedicated servant. She received a new longing after that. They came in, and you know what? She began to deal with them. And she said, when we heard all those things that happened unto you, she said, our hearts melted. And there wasn't any more courage in any man in this town. And we realized who God was. And said, I want you to swear, men. So when y'all come back here, won't you show kindness to me and my father's house and give me a true token that you'll save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have and deliver their lives from death. Let me tell you something. You know what she was doing up on top of that wall? She was worried just about herself. She was giving herself to men. She was giving herself to her occupation and the lust of her flesh. She was giving herself to all those things. And you know what? That's what she cared about. But boy, hallelujah, when the blood of Jesus got on the scene, it touched her heart, and that scarlet thread started hanging down out of that window. She didn't care about playing the harlot anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout this morning. Hey, she didn't care about playing the harlot anymore, Brother Ward. Why? Because she got a new longing when the blood of Jesus came in. She wasn't worried about anything else except getting her family saved. She wasn't worried about anything but just being an old soul winner. And she said, hey, you know what? I've made a deal with you. I've got my life taken care of. But there's some others over here that I love. There's some others over here that I've grown up with. There's old mama over there that ain't saved. There's daddy down there that ain't saved. There's brothers and sisters that ain't saved. And all that they have, I want you to make a promise to save them too. Church, we need a burden for those that are lost. And she didn't care about anything else anymore. But she had a new longing. Hey, she said, I want you to save my family. And then she got a new labor. I won't spend any time on this. But you know what? She was up on that wall. And you know what? She was playing a harlot. By the time them men got up there, she quit playing the harlot and she started hiding them. And after a while, she hid them. And the guys come in. Said, we saw some men coming into your house. We know there's that bunch that come out of Egypt. Hey, where'd they go? She said, they ain't here. She hid them up on the roof. And said, they ain't here. And said, hey, won't you go pursue them? They went that way. And they took off and went pursuing them. And you know what she did? She went up under the roof and she got them out. And they made that deal. And then she went binding that scarlet thread. And here she is. I don't know how big a woman she was. Don't even know if she had anybody helping her. Not. But you know what? There could have been a John knocking at her door right then. But you know what? She didn't answer that door. She just hung on to that scarlet thread. And those men right there were going down the side of that wall. She's still just hanging on to it. I don't know. Maybe she had two or three in the house there with her holding that thread. Maybe she had latched it on to something. I don't know. But I dare say she's got her hands on that thread. I dare say she's hanging on for all that she had. And it didn't matter what John knocked on the door. It didn't matter how much money they were willing to pay. It didn't matter what her flesh cried out and said. But she said, you know what? I'm going to hang on to this thread because if I don't, I die. If I don't, my family dies. If I don't, this city dies. And she said, I don't care what anybody else wants. I'm going to hang on to the scarlet thread. And she got a new labor. And not only did she have a new labor, she received a new life. She received a new life. She made a deal with them. And she said, you know what? Here's what I want you to do. And they said, okay, here's what's going to take your life for ours. If she was going to be saved, she had to give up her life. It couldn't be about her anymore. It couldn't be what she wanted anymore. This old flesh couldn't raise up and she kept satisfying. It couldn't be about that anymore. They said, if you want to be saved and if you want your family to be saved, then you've got to give up your life. Look in Joshua 6. I'm about done. Look right here. Look in Joshua 6. Verse 22. Joshua said unto the two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all she had, brought out all of her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They burnt the city with fire. Boy, there's a picture of hell right there, ain't it? And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put in the treasure of the house of the Lord. And in verse number 25, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And look what right here. And she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day. She come out of a wicked city called Jericho. Canaanites were the inhabitants. Vile, ungodly bunch, elevating all kinds of immorality to an act of worship. And when God got done with her, He took her out of that vile city. Glory to God. Don't you know when you get saved, you don't just keep living in the trash He saved you out of. But He saved her and He brought her out, Brother Jesse. She didn't live in Canaan anymore, brother. She didn't live in Jericho anymore. But glory to God, she got adopted in to the family of Israel. Hey, and she received a new life. Now there's a dedicated servant. And lastly and finally, we see a divine seed. We see a divine seed. Now, I want you to follow me for just a moment. I want you to follow me for just a moment. And don't turn here. I just want you to listen. In the book of Numbers, chapter 1, and verse number 7. All right, now listen to this. Y'all can search this out on your own when you get somewhere later. In Numbers, chapter 1, and verse 7. Before that, a census was taken. Moses commanded the census to be taken of all the tribes of Israel. And said, from 20 years old and upward, and all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. He said, of the tribe of Reuben, there's this, of the tribe of Simeon. Verse number 7. He says, of the tribe of Judah, the man that's going to be appointed over that tribe is Nashon, the son of Amminadab. Nashon, the son of Amminadab, was the one that was placed as head over the tribe of Judah. Now, church, those of you that were here Thursday night, what does Judah mean? Praise. Praise is what it means. Now, Nashon becomes head over the tribe of Judah. Nashon dies in the wilderness. Remember the first generation, the spies went in. They said, we can't conquer the land. So God said, we'll go wander in the wilderness for 40 years and I'll kill off everybody that's in the wilderness. So Nashon dies in the wilderness. But Nashon's son comes along by the name of Salmon. And Salmon then becomes the head over the tribe of Judah. Now Salmon is something really good. Because when you go over to Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says Abram begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judah. And then the Bible, you go on down and you find where Amminadab begat Nashon, Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat a fella whom all of you will know. Salmon begat a fella by the name of Boaz. Y'all with me this morning? Salmon begat a fella by the name of Boaz. And the Bible tells us in Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 6 that the closest kinsman redeemer would not redeem a young gal by the name of Ruth because of her heritage. Ruth. Hallelujah. Ruth was a Moabitess, meaning she was a pagan.
And the closest kinsman redeemer said, I can't bring a pagan into my bloodline because it will contaminate my bloodline. But Boaz said, you know what? I don't care. Because I came through the bloodline of a harlot. Because in Matthew chapter 1, you'll find the Bible says this. The Bible says, boy, I like this. I like this. The Bible says, Salmon beget Boaz, and Boaz beget Obed of Ruth, and Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And if you'll read on through further, you'll find through the lineage of David came the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Rahab is found in the lineage of the Savior. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it doesn't matter who you are this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you find yourself this morning. God said in Psalms, He said, I'll take your sins and cast them as far away as the east is from the west. And He'll take you and put you in the bloodline of the Savior. And you see a divine seed. Hey, let me tell you something. She was an old harlot. She didn't have no hope. She was giving herself out on the top of the city walls. But you know what? By the time God got done with her, He took her out of that trashy place and He put her in His family. And through her lineage came the Savior of the world who died to redeem all of mankind. She made a covenant with praise. When you got saved, you entered into a covenant with the Lion of the tribe of praise. And you're in a covenant with Him this morning. Glory. You say, preacher, I can't be saved. Why not? Why not? If He can save Rahab, why can't He save you? If He can save a harlot and put her in the line, the bloodline of Jesus Himself, why can't He save you? Preacher, I'm messed up. I've been involved in all kinds of stuff. My life is just, it's in turmoil. It's all, hey, can I, why can't He save you? Why can't He save you? Why? Why? It's not that He can't save you. The question is, will you let Him save you? Will you let Him save you? Jesus Christ came to redeem sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Why can't He save you today? Hey, want to be a good mother? Ladies, want to be a good mother? If you're here today and you're not saved, you want to be a good mother? Realize your situation. You're just simply a doomed sinner this morning. But realize that Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins, and you can be a delivered saint this morning. And when you become a delivered saint, you can be a dedicated servant, and you can end up in His divine seed. Hey, that's the best mother you'll ever find. We are testimonies all over this church this morning of mamas that loved Jesus and raised them up and nurtured them in the nurturing atmosphere. You know what? Those are good mothers. Those are good mothers. Hey, you want to be a good mother? Hey, serve God. Church, dads, want to be a good father? Serve God. Men, want to be a good husband? Serve God. Women, want to be a good wife? Serve God. Want to be a good son? Serve God. Want to be a good daughter? Serve God. Glory to God. Hey, Jesus done it all. And He can place you right in His divine seed this morning. We'd ask you to stand. Brother Eric, would you come? Get us a song this morning. Page 378, if you'll find it in your hymn book this morning. Church, there's no reason this morning why you can't be saved. There's no reason this morning why, if you've been saved and you've backslid on God, there's no reason this morning why you can't come and rededicate your life to Jesus and God place you right back in fellowship with Him. You say, but I'm involved in this right now. Hey, let me tell you something. Just let go of it. Let it go. Hey, Rahab lost everything she had, but she didn't lose her soul. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? That's all he's got, guys. That's all he's got. Hey, but I'll ask you to come. I'll ask you to come this morning. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Maybe you're here today. You don't know Jesus Christ. as your Lord and Savior. And you'd say, preacher, today God is dealing with my heart. I want to be saved. I realize there's nothing today that can keep me from being saved except myself. I want to make the choice to come to Jesus and be saved. While heads are bowed, no one's looking around, nobody will pull on you, embarrass you in any way. You slip your hand up where you're at and say, preacher, I want to be saved this morning. Is there one right now while we wait?